Okay.
Ooh.
That was my story. Hey. I didn't know what to say after. Welcome to season 5.
Yeah, that's a good start. Welcome to season 5. I'm CJ. That was Cody doing the wah.
Hello.
And guess who else is on here permanently going forward?
Yes.
Hey, it's me.
Hey.
it's Mark. I should yeah.
I didn't know if CJ was going to say it or if he was leaving it for you to be like, hello.
The awkwardness just perpetuates throughout my life. So
that's okay.
It was context clues, and I also pointed at him in the video.
I didn't see you point. I thought you, like, I saw your hand go, but then your hand went off screen. So it was like,
well, I wasn't pointing at your screen. I was pointing at his.
Well,
screen.
I didn't know. It looked like you were like Brady, like doing the Brady Bunch thing, where you like looking to him, like in the screen box, and like
diagonally.
And then there's Mark.
Look up. Hey. Should we get like restack each other when we're like a totem?
The best thing about this whole joke is that I've been in America long enough to understand what the Brady Bunch is. Mm. That's the best thing about this.
That's not
joke.
Great.
I mean, it's not. I mean, you wouldn't be missing anything if you didn't. It's not a good show.
I wouldn't consider that show like the American show. I wouldn't consider like, hey, if you were to look up the history of America, it wouldn't be the Brady Bunch.
What show would you say?
Well, what would it be? Yeah.
CSI.
CSI Miami.
No, I take it back. Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
See, okay, our answers are way different. Mine was Price is Right.
Yes. Oh, that's a good answer.
Oh, like Jeopardy, MASH. Yeah.
Did you say Jeopardy?
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy.
Or Jeopardy. If you want to go like really old school, like you gotta say like Jag or like Magnum PI.
Oh, Wings.
Or Wings.
Wings like, was a good show.
But like, I feel like everyone.
What about Cheers?
Cheers.
No, Mark's got a good point. I think it's Cheers.
Yeah.
Or Seinfeld. Seinfeld. Like, what's the all-American television show?
Seinfeld. What's the greatest sitcom?
No, fuck Friends.
No, Seinfeld's the greatest one of all time. Friends is trash.
Yeah, I
hate to break it to you though. Europe has way more Friends than it does Seinfeld.
Is it really?
Really?
I could take two runny dumps, and those scripts would be better than Friends.
Two runny dumps called Joey and Chandler.
Exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
But that's what I call all my runny shits.
Wait, I'll give you.
And okay, the third one's called Jennifer Aniston.
From a UK perspective, for like the home of dry satire, like satirical humor, like. You guys don't like Seinfeld?
I mean, I think timing-wise, obviously Seinfeld was like early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, I think with the television viewership and everything, it wasn't the right time, whereas Friends kind of hit and struck a chord. Mm.
What would the ultimate like UK television show be?
Oh god! Probably some terrible soap opera or like Doctor Who.
Oh yeah, Doctor Who's a good answer.
Yeah,
like Coronation Street, Doctor Who, EastEnders.
Oh, what's that? Did you ever watch one of my old friends? Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf. Oh god, I loved Red Dwarf. That is absolutely that's thrown
me. Every UK person I talked to is like, Red Dwarf's the greatest fucking thing ever. Like
it sounds really racist.
No, CJ, you would have loved it. It was like a sci-fi comedy.
Are you calling me a racist?
No, CJ, it's very. It reminds me of because I watched a couple episodes. It's very Mighty Boosh.
Oh, you mean like I love Mighty Boosh, but you mean Red Dwarf as in like a planet, a Red Dwarf?
Yeah,
star. I mean, a star.
Yeah,
it's a sci-fi comedy, but it's Mighty Boosh meets what was the series that Simon Pegg did that got him famous to begin with?
Oh, with Nick Frost. Yeah. They had that shoot 'em out scene that was really popular. Shit, that's gonna kill me.
Wait, are you thinking of a show or a movie?
It's a show. It's a television show with Nick Frost and Simon Pegg, and they were roommates together, and they had a lot of conflict in that roommate situation.
That's gonna kill me.
That's gonna kill me. That was such a good one. That's where they got their star.
My grandma really watched. I don't know why she got into this show. I think it's called Doc Brown.
I've heard of Doc Brown. Yeah,
my grandma got really into that, weirdly enough. And I was like, Grandma, like, this is like a BBC show. She's like, it's so good.
Spaced.
Oh. You Google it before I could.
Mighty Boosh meets Spaced is what Red Dwarf was. But Red Dwarf, that's a great throwback, Cody.
I didn't really care for it, to be honest, but my friend was obsessed with it. But she was so from funny. Scotland, so...
Should we do the actual thing we're talking about here, guys?
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a really good segue when, as soon as Mark said he didn't like Seinfeld, like, that was an annoyance. So.
Should we fucking cut it off right there?
Yeah. Mark was ejected from the podcast.
I found that very annoying.
Well, it's not that I don't like it. It's just, it's not... Jerry Seinfeld is a very funny guy.
Red Dwarf like his... is garbage.
Like, we have nothing to offer.
No, you have Doctor Who fucking and Sherlock done? Is great.
Can you guys just be quiet for a second?
Okay, sorry, go, CJ, go.
All right. So my annoyance is, this is the thing we're doing now on this new season. At the beginning of every episode, other than talking about television, we're talking about what annoys us. And what I brought to the table this week, despite Cody and Mark's differences, is our work voice versus our true voice, and how much it hurts inside to be facetious for 8 hours a day.
Okay. Before we get into it, I'm going to preface this with one exception.
Go ahead.
The only time my work voice is, and it's still like my work voice, but it's genuine, I don't mind it, is when I'm talking to little kids. Because they're pure and great and lovely, and they just want their shoes. So, okay. I'm okay with that work voice, because it's not their fault. So, but other than that, yes, having a work voice is fucking awful, and... Mm-hmm. The second I say anything, like, when the second they irritate me, and I'm just like, okay. And then I walk into the room, and I'm just like, you fucking idiot.
Listen, I'm not saying that our work in retail or whatever industry that you have to have that kind of voice is, correlated with, just as impactful of having, like, backbreaking work. But mentally, it is very taxing.
Yeah. It's exhausting. Yeah. It's well, like, we've all, it's exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've all worked in retail.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that it's, like, it's side by side with work that's actually, like, coal mining, where I'll get, like, the black lung, or, like, like, logging, where I'll get, like, a ruined back. But my mind literally almost explodes from an aneurysm every day from being so fucking polite.
Yeah.
Is it, I mean, this is more for the two of you, because I haven't worked in New York, but is it different over in New York? Like, do they expect a little less, like, hospitality over there?
Mark, I got this. Certainly not.
Okay.
absolutely fucking not. But if you work in a place that's common for, like a culture that has, like Southern values, like in the South, where you have to, like, be... a little bit overly sensitive to customer service situations, or in Orange County, now I work in LA now, and it's, hey, you have a lot of money, you have to bend over backwards for whatever the fuck your whim is, like, it's different, and it hurts your heart, which, is important, and it hurts your mind, which is also, very important.
Well, the biggest difference for me when I moved over to New York was the customer service in the UK from a retail perspective is just very different. You don't greet people when you walk into a store in the UK. So when we opened Topshop together, CJ and I, we were scheduling greeters, that were going to just stand at the front of the store and welcome people. You don't get that in the UK. You don't walk into a store and someone gives you a hello. Like, you're lucky if you can track someone down to ask them for a size that isn't on the shop floor.
It's Urban Outfitters everywhere. Like, you never find anyone.
As far as the eye can see, it's Urban Out. Yeah, like, you if you ask someone in the UK in a store, like, hey, can you help? They look perturbed. You know, there's a moment of like, me?
You know what's funny is, like, I definitely experienced that when I was over there. There was only two places where I actually got greeted, and one was Vans. It's just because, like, we have to.
American.
Yeah, it's not a natural, like, fixture there. And the other one was, it was like, I forget what it was called, but it was this carnival type store on Oxford. It was almost like a like that toy store in Home Alone 2.
Oh, Fabio Schwartz. Fabio Schwartz.
But it was like that place, and it's like right there on Oxford, mm-hmm. and they greeted me just because, like, but they're already outside, like, making a show kind of thing.
Right.
But, like, everywhere else I went, and, like, no one was rude about it. They were just like, no, we're working, and, like, we'll help you at the counter. Like,
that's exactly it. If you need anything in a UK store, you will go to the counter, and that will be the interaction you have.
Yeah.
It's not the shop floor vibe as much.
But yeah,
it sounds fucking amazing.
It wasn't like, for someone who works in customer service like we do, like, it's very nice. It's like, I don't need help. Like, you don't have to help me. Like, don't like CJ said, like, don't kill your heart even more on me. Like,
right.
But yeah, I mean, here, like, it's weird because, like, when you say work voice, or like, I instantly think, like, my voice sounds different. I don't think my voice sounds different, but my tone is different.
Oh, well, it goes up an octave, for sure.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah.
And I hate it, because, like, I even have, like, when I really get into it with a customer, like, into it in a good way, like, we're, like, I'm giving them, like, the whole freaking shebang or whatever, and my associates are like, are you having, like, a really good day? And I was like, no,
I've literally been with a customer so long, my eyes started twitching, and it was like, I can't keep this up for any longer, or everything's just gonna fucking explode. Like, I don't know how to explain to you how little I care about your needs, and in a nice way. Like, I don't give a fuck about what you want. I'm here for the paycheck, and that's all there is to it, pal.
Literally, today's, like, kid would not stop talking, and I was like, I took it too far, so I gave him, like, the okay to keep talking, basically.
Right.
And I basically just had to, like, fist bump him. I was like, all right, man, I gotta go.
Well, because there's people in that situation that take advantage of your niceties. There's people in that situation that take advantage, and that kind of, like, drink your customer service blood and say, hey, I'm gonna suck everything out of your soul until you're dry at the end of this transaction. And they know it. They're sharks. They smell blood in the water. They get it.
Stupid.
It's kind of like in What We Do in the Shadows, and they have the energy vampire.
Yeah, exactly, Mark.
There are certain people that will just suck you dry, like you said. You know,
what's his name again? Isn't it
Oh God,
I forget. Carl Robinson. Carl Robinson.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Carl Robinson.
But, like, I just, like, I don't know where people, like, okay, so I'm a human being, and I've been told, like, hey, I don't want to talk to you anymore. And I've been like, I totally get it. And I've learned from those circumstances, like, yeah, when I'm coming on too strong, you don't want to talk to me.
Take a social cue, bud.
Exactly, social cues. But there's certain people that I don't know what school they went to, but they didn't teach social cues in that school. It's called, and they'll just, that's what it means. Homeschool kids. Yeah, homeschool kids.
which the entire current generation are going to be.
It's awful. Right. We're going to have a bunch of fucking zombies out there.
Going to be a bunch of fucking close talkers. Get out of my face.
They're going to be like, do you have a 33 waist with a 31 inseam? Oh,
dude, we had a, before we get to, like, get to the thing, but you brought it up. One of our fucking online orders today we were packaging was a 31, like, 31, and I was like, the fuck out of here.
That's a mutant. That whoever that was that ordered that is a mutant.
Dude.
Yeah. I have never seen a 31-31. What the fuck?
Like, wait, did they also order a second pair of pants for their hind legs?
Yeah.
or like six-fingered gloves?
Yeah. Or like, either you get just, the kid, like, I had one kid who was like, do you have a 2834? And I was like, no, you tree.
make sure their crops of my hooves can fit.
2834. That's,
I was
like,
what are you, a ficus? Like, what the fuck?
Root.
What are you, a birch tree, you fucking weirdo? Get out of here.
Weird. I was like, no. But it's like, it's to the point, like, damn it, Mark. Like, you fucking, it's like, the second they ask you a question like that, you're like, ugh.
Ew. What do you look like? Gross.
So fucking awful. Oh, God. Okay.
Should we all, get right, all right, guys.
Should we get into it?
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. We'll get into the first part of season 5.
Okay.
Welcome to Justice Time Machine, everybody.
Wow.
Chance.
Okay, I already started.
Oh, okay. Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
Welcome.
I'm gonna start doing that from now on. I'm just gonna start hitting record like right in the middle.
Well, that's good. I hope you did, because I just said welcome to episode 5, but it's season 5, episode 1.
One. Episode 1.
Episode 1.
This is the only time I will keep count.
Okay. Well, thank you, Cody. I appreciate your effort.
Yep.
You're doing a great job in your tie-dye shirt. You look great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's I think it's technically acid wash.
So welcome to 10 episodes of all three of us assholes getting to rifle off who we think are assholes.
Yeah.
For an hour at a time. So we're talking about North Korea. And I had a really hard time picking the title of this. Because do we call it the Kims? Do we call it the Kim Dynasty? Or do we call it the North Korea episode?
The Kims.
The Kims.
Yeah.
You want to call it the Kims?
I thought that we agreed on keeping up with the Kims.
Oh, yeah. Keeping up with the Kims.
Keeping up with the Kims?
Yes.
We can't call it that.
Why not?
Well, because it's the thing. It's the
Kim
other
Kardashian's
thing.
Not going to sue. She's choosing getting a divorce.
True.
Okay, well, no, that's not my problem with it. My problem is that it's kitschy and outplayed.
Is it outplayed by all the other Kim like documentaries?
Oh, dude, there's like 100 of them.
Okay, I like it.
I think we should call this episode the Kim Dynasty.
How about keeping down with the Kims?
Getting down with the sickness.
Getting down with the Kims, yeah.
Which is how you started this episode with, ah!
Yeah, it was, I'm preluding. It's called writing.
down with the Kimness.
Foreshadow.
That's
foreshadowing.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
exactly. All right, so it's known as the Kim Dynasty.
Okay.
You guys can't see my arm movements, but they're going to be really Italian in this episode.
Suiting for the Koreans.
So 1948 until present day, three generations of familial leadership, but disguised as the Workers' Party of Korea, or also known as the WPK. WPK is the Workers' Party of Korea, and that's what they've kind of like housed this central leadership as, the Workers' Party, which is a totalitarianism disguised as a Workers' Party.
Okay, and we'll get into that.
Thank you so much, Cody. Because
I mean, yeah,
tougher.
Trump couldn't say it either. So
that's true.
Well, oh fuck you, by the way. At least I have a bachelor's degree.
You probably all bought one.
Yeah, from Trump University.
Yeah,
Mark got it.
There you go.
Oh, like mines. There we go. All right. So there's so much we don't know, but what we do know is most certainly it's totalitarian, meaning a totalitarian. I can't do it. Fuck.
Wait, I have a question.
Totalitarian.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
So obviously this is a, like you said, a totalitarianism and a dictatorship and it's tyranny. But since it's, we're talking about like you said, like it's familial, like you're covering the first guy, we're covering the descendants. Does it also make it a monarchy?
Well, no, because a monarchy has stages, and this has just current rulers.
But he has absolute power.
But a monarchy is planned. This isn't planned. Mm. Monarchy has like a familial, like a recipients of the crown, and this one just has his sons and his grandsons accepting the title of supreme leader. So that's where it kind of like differs.
Okay.
So it doesn't have anything to do with family. It has everything to do with this family, not the family. It's this family and how they decide to choose to lead their half country.
Gotcha. Mark, what are you going to say?
Well, so a monarchy is a form of government that has a monarch at the head.
Mm.
So this is technically couldn't be a monarchy because it's a dictatorship. There is just that sense of what CJ was saying about like.
No, yeah, I totally get it. I'm just like used to like other dictatorships, like not necessarily always handing it off to like their offspring. So I was just like that transference of power is a little weird. It's very unique as far as dictatorships go.
It's also a big get for that butterfly, the monarch butterfly. Like that's a pretty big get for that one. Like who made you the king of butterflies?
It's the monarch. It's
definitely not the best butterfly. I've seen better. So totalitarianism. Fuck me, goddamn it. So it's defined by seven qualifiers. Okay. The first one is extensive political repression. The second is complete lack of democracy. The third is widespread personality cultism. The fourth is absolute control over the economy. The fifth is massive censorship. And the sixth is mass surveillance. The seventh, finally, is limited freedom of movement. So those are the seven qualifiers of what it takes to be totalitarian.
There you go.
Okay. Do we know who came up with those seven, like, steps?
No,
probably this guy.
I didn't look it that far into it. Wait, who are you pointing to? Mark?
No, I meant the guy you're about to talk about. Like, probably him.
Well, no, don't point to Mark. He's a nice guy.
No.
I came up with the seven steps of totalitarianism.
Actually, it's eight steps.
They forgot my final agenda.
The last one was about Mark.
I would assume that like maybe these seven, like I wouldn't call it, maybe not steps, but like qualifiers, probably were just more observed based off of these different totalitarianisms. Like
that's a really good point, Cody, because the other examples in history include Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, and Mao. So it's not
pretty good consensus.
Well, I mean, it's the starting lineup for the asshole all-star team, basically.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be an asshole, you're in this, you know, five-person team.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Koreas in 1945 were divided. So Japan surrendered the northern part of Korea. And the Koreas were divided in two parts. It was South and North Korea. And it was after 1945, after World War II. Mm. So there was discourse that followed that kind of engagement after World War II. The Soviets really liked the North part and the US wanted the South part. And that's the difference in kind of economical strategies and wartime strategies. And you could see that because Japan at that time, and I'm sorry, not Japan. The Soviets at that time wanted to make it a lot more like a red state communist state. And Southern Korea, the U.S., who had U.S. influences, wanted to make it a little bit more democratical or democratic. Yeah. So basically at this point, one the North Korea picked missiles and South Korea picked food. And it's easily broken down in that kind of like two tiers.
Pretty obvious to see where that road's going to take both of them.
Exactly. My next point is .. the Korean War.
Yeah.
Because obviously that didn't work for too long.
Yeah.
So in 1950, what was it? 2 years after the Soviets took over North Korea, 2 years after in 1950, there was the Korean War. And it was an unresolved war because they just couldn't stop fighting each other. They were just so incessant upon fucking each other up, even though both of their ideals came from external sources, which I think is really interesting. So we have a Soviet recourse and we have a US recourse, but their own people fought over those two principles, which I think is really interesting. Like, why would you hold so true something that somebody gave you on a whim just 2 years ago?
Right.
And it's just really interesting how somebody can be that devout after 2 years of entanglement.
Well, and I think it's really interesting in the history of the country that this all came about because fascism lost in the Second World War and Japan was kind of, you know, roped into that because they were obviously fighting the Allies in some respect with, you know, the attack on Pearl Harbor, etc. So this, and I didn't know prior to doing any research before this episode, but this all came about because of the Second World War. And Japan losing,
right?
You know, and being a part of the Second World War in that respect. Otherwise, who knows what would have happened to Korea?
Well, yeah. I mean, okay, so I can agree with one facet of this, and like Cody, you can attest to this. Is like the Japanese in the 30s and 40s was nasty business.
Oh yeah, based off of the other episodes we've done,
The Nanking Massacre, etc.
Yeah.
Like everything the Japanese were doing, like, of course you're going to want to get away from the Japanese because what they were doing was pretty horrific at that point in time.
Yeah, they were fucking brutal.
The fact that they couldn't, brutal, like absolutely brutal, but the same kind of, traits that they picked up from the Japanese were also then included in their rule in China, Mongolia,
all those
areas.
I just think it's really weird, like the pretense, like the setting that you just gave us of the Korean War, the sides that both the North and the South are taking, like you said, like to be so devout towards something that's like not a religion, not a governmental, not your government view, someone else's government view, and to lay your life down for something someone thousands of miles away is telling you, yeah, this is right. That is. It makes this a very unique war, like other war.
We could say the same thing for like current aspects too. Is like, you know, people are devout to things that they find, you know, soulless in being just as ignorant to. So like, if you're gonna speak my language on a certain T, I'll agree with you to the end because you're speaking my language.
But not to this level though, where it's like. I was born in South Korea. I've lived in South Korea. Like, this is my home. But these guys over in America are telling that I need to value food more than missiles. But I really like missiles.
Well, I mean, we don't know anything about the propaganda. It could have been, like, propagated. It could have been, like, you know, it's us versus them. It could have been North versus South. Like, shit. The fucking Civil War. It could have been anything like that. Like,
it's just very wild that, like, there was that much external influence.
Yeah. It is wild.
It's a country that probably lacked an identity to begin with.
Yeah,
that's a really good point, Mark.
Yeah. Like, you're being controlled by Japan in the first place.
Yeah.
So then to be influenced by other foreign, you know, whether it's the Soviets or whether it's America, they're susceptible.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a really good point because it doesn't absolutely have like a foundation to begin with.
Yeah.
Because it was created upon the demise of World War II.
Yeah, they're looking for an identity and you don't know which way.
So anyway, they couldn't stop fighting. So North and South Korea couldn't stop fighting. They just couldn't be left alone, just, you know, cats and dogs. So they created a demilitarized zone, which they couldn't fight in. So this zone, it crosses the border, like literally 50-50 down the middle of North and South Korea. Of it's an area of which you can't conflict. Oh, is that a Suna?
Yeah, I was about to mute myself because she's not shutting up.
Hey, baby.
I wasn't sure that was going to pick up or not.
Oh, Cody's kitty's in the picture. Hey, no, baby. I miss you.
She never leaves.
Oh, hey, sweetheart. It's CJ. You remember me? Hi, baby. Oh, look at her go. Tell her I said hi. Okay, so the architect of the war with South Korea and with the WBK is Kim Il-sung. So he was, and now I'm going to get into the thing I was supposed to get into. Okay.
Okay.
So Kim Il-sung was born on April 15th, 1912, which makes him an Aries. And he died on the 8th of July, which he died of cancer. I don't know if that checks out. Can you die your star sign?
Oh, did he die in Aries?
Well, do you die a star sign or do you just live a star sign?
I've never heard of
like what, like in the period that you died? I mean, I don't know. I've never heard of death star signs, but let's make it.
Okay. Well, let's do it. Well, because he didn't, he was a cancer when he died, but he died of a heart attack. So that doesn't make any sense.
Oh.
All right. So before Kim Il-sung became powerful, he was born into a working class family. It was just nearby Pyongyang, which is about 15 miles out Pyongyang. His humble beginnings at some points were even almost, he went hungry or completely destitute at points with his own family. And this is back when he was like, you know, 7 to 12 years old.
Okay.
So he had the feeling, he had that, the sinking period in his stomach of going hungry, which, you know, I have had and other people have had, which makes you kind of at that point a better person for it. But he didn't take it as such.
I was going to say, I was like, very ironic for what I'm going to talk about later. But like, but you're saying he didn't learn from that at all?
Yeah, he maybe he was just really upset about it.
I'm pissed and hungry.
Mm-hmm. I'm hungry and mad at the people that made me hungry. I don't care. And I'm going to make people hungry just to get my vengeance.
Everyone feel my pain.
So his family was devoutly Presbyterian, and they were actively Presbyterian, which is weird because it's a, you know, Christian caveat. Mm-hmm. It's not like a necessary like religion in our terms, being from the United States, or Mark being from the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Presbyterian is kind of a soft Mormon.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's a little more out there.
Yeah. So it's weird. It's just an interesting point. Like, I'm not saying anything about it. It's just an interesting point. So in 1926, Kim Il-sung, he founded the Down With Imperialism Union, which, holy shit.
Subtle.
He said it right there, buddy.
Which is, it's funny, coming from a socialist, a Soviet Union influenced part of this country. Mm-hmm. He's like, down with imperialism, but oh, communism.
Well, you know what's funny is it could be called a DWI.
DWI.
Down with imperialism.
Oh, I was going the DUI route and driving with imperialism.
Driving with imperialism. Excuse me, sir, take your crown off.
I shan't.
Oh, but what will my people think? All right. So he quit that after a year once he saw the military training that they were doing. Well, they were doing really archaic training. They were training with, like, you know, like really front lines kind of thing. And he was like, well, you're not doing anything. I'm going to quit. But after that, he just started joining all these communist parties, like Marxist parties, like anything that he can get involved in, until the Soviet Union actually captured him. And the Soviet Union were like, this guy has some fucking...
He got some moxie.
Promise. He's got some promise. So he started working. Kim Il-sung started working for the Soviet Union. And that's where he adopted the name Kim Il-sung. Because his original name was like Kim Song-ju. But he changed it after he started working with the Soviets to Kim Il-sung. Okay. And Kim Il-sung means Kim become the son.
Interesting.
Cute.
Yeah. Yeah, Cody.
Just lovely.
Way to, way to devalue all my research in one fell swoop. Buddy.
It's like, you know, when you when you're little and you're drawing like a picture of like the field, and you always you draw your son like up in the corner because you don't know how to draw a full circle, but then you put a face in it, it's all cute, and then you just put like a little Kim's face in it. It's just Kim. Well,
don't forget
the
sun. Don't forget the sunglasses. If you have a son, put the sunglasses on it.
Kim, I think this become is, the sun. I think this is how Jimmy Eat World came up with their band name.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm pretty certain.
Yeah.
No, it's the red jumpsuit apparatus where they threw darts.
Yeah, throwing dartboard. It's how we got the name for this podcast.
That is absolutely true, Mark. Did you know that?
I didn't.
We threw darts at a board to name this podcast, Joseph's Time Machine.
Yeah, we put a ton of different words on my dartboard and threw darts at it, and then until we found out like a compilation that sounded cool.
That's incredible. The most fitting.
Zero thought.
Mark, I know you're really bright, but we're amateurs.
I just give the illusion of being like Marvin.
So, Kim Il-sung at this point, the founder of The Sun or whatever he wants to get by. The founder of The Sun.
The day man.
The day man, exactly. Yeah. Fighter of the night man.
Yes.
Oh! He was on the Japanese Most Wanted list, and he fled to Soviet Russia, and that's where he got his, like, you know, kind of things. So that's why he went to Russia, because the Japanese wanted him dead, and he was like, I'm out of here. The Soviets will take me. Yeah, exactly. So now this is kind of where it gets wild, and I'm going to get into why the kind of devoutism of North Korea comes into play, why they're so, like, abjectly devoted to this person. When he came back from Russia, he told the entirety of Korea that he was the reason that the Japanese were defeated. So it was his doing. He lied and said that I'm the reason the Japanese are gone and we're our own country now. And everybody was like, well, I can't fucking fact check that. Like, fine, you're great, bud. Like, I don't know what to do. And he kept lying. He kept lying incessantly. And he literally created a system called the Songbun. The Songbun is a classified system of three tiers that goes one core, two wavering, and three hostile. So if you fall into any of those categories, you're allowed to get punished is severely depending on what category you fall on. Dang. So if you're core, you're fine. If you're wavering, you're punished. You're punished to a punishing degree. And if you're hostile, you're punished to the nth degree.
That's like the fucking, like, torture version of Smokey the Bear's fucking fire chart. Like, we're in the fucking red zone.
Yeah. Or the COVID zone. He's a purple tier. He's purple tier all the time.
Like, I just imagine, like, being all Smokey the Bear, but with sunglasses, like, you're not in the right degree, motherfucker.
Right. So he used this to inflict his power after he came through from China, from, what was it? Manchuria. Okay. He came from Manchuria. Manchuria to Soviet Russia, down to North Korea. And, you know, instilled these kind of, like, parts of his system. So what he used was that class system, the three-part class system. And how he used it was he took your education away. He took your food away. He took your housing away. He took your employment away. And even he took your life away. And those were all on the table if you disagreed with his bullshit. So basically, there was these guys, and this is going to explain North Korea really well. There's this upper tier, upper echelon of these guys that believe your bullshit or are too scared to say no to your bullshit, that just agree with everything you say. And if you were on the second tier, you would be imprisoned. You would go to death camps. He had literally camps. His camps were called, they were called something.
I don't know if they're the same camps, but I have that written down too. We can touch on that later, but.
The Quan Liso, the Quan Liso.
Yeah, the Quan Liso, yeah.
So if you're wavering with the Quan Liso camps, and if you were completely hostile, you'd be executed. And he executed you in public. And the fucked up part about this guy is he didn't execute you. He executed your entire family tree when you disagreed. So when you see people crying, like, oh my God, our supreme leader has died. They're not doing that for the supreme leader. They're doing that so their family doesn't fucking die.
Yeah.
And that's the important part to realize here. It's scaring your people into a false sense of freedom, which isn't exactly freedom. And if I could say one thing to finish this fucking episode off, it would be just like the sun will explode one day. Thankfully, his fucking heart did, because he died of a fucking heart attack.
Dang. Okay.
I hate this. I hate this. Yeah, this you guy guys.
Sucks.
This is really fucking unruly and unfair. And just because you came back from war and lied and convinced all your people to believe your bullshit and you developed your power from bullshit, you should be called bullshit. Fuck you. I don't believe you. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I read that Kim Sung-il basically convinced the people of Korea that he was, or North Korea, that he was a god, right? That was like, that was what he instilled in them.
Oh, slow down there,
he called himself the sun, because if the sun evaporated, they'd all evaporate too.
Oh, wait, Mark, were you talking about the guy he was just talking about, or my guy? Because I have a whole other story of
About CJ's.
Oh, okay.
It gets a little confusing. Yeah, no, I'm talking about CJ.
The sun. You're talking about the sun.
The start of this whole fucking family tree of awfulness.
The one that gives us light and warmth.
Everybody's balled their fists in solidarity. We hate this fucking shit.
Okay. Well, Dan, you set the bar pretty high. I don't think Mark and I are gonna like come close to that, because now it's just a continuation of the bullshit.
I believe in you. I believe in you, too sweet man. I think you can do a good job.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with the next guy. Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey guys, this is Cody and CJ from Justice Time Machine. Just doing another shout out for our buddy Eli, who did our logo for the podcast. If you guys like what you saw with our logo and are looking for any kind of graphic design or logo work, he's really a reliable source to go to. It's ELIS_trashcan on Instagram. Really cool guy, really quick with his work, and very talented. And you know, he'll work within your budget. He's very understanding and reasonable. So yeah, reach out to him if you guys need any work done. It's definitely worth it, and have a good one.
Well, we're back anyway. Fuck. Okay. Dang. That would have been the perfect intro if I just belched. Oh, well. Okay. Well, CJ, you look very relaxed now that you got everything out.
Yeah, I'm literally thinking about eating the pretzels right next to me.
There you go. Well, just mute yourself if you do.
Well, can't do it on recording. Can't eat pretzels on recording.
Well, you can mute yourself and then munch, and then...
Well, don't make me thirsty.
Okay. Okay, well, we're going to move on now to the son of the sun, Kim Jong-il. Mm-hmm. The guy who took over after your guy continues the line of bullshit and lying and just fucking just...
Hey Cody, don't call him my guy.
He's your guy.
he ain't my guy.
I'm not your buddy, pal. I'm not your friend, guy. We're gonna talk about Kim Jong-il. He was born February 16th, 1941, which I don't know. that might make him a Pisces with us, Mark. I'm not sure, but yeah, gross. So,
okay.
You're rejected. so I'm just going to go right off the bat with the lying that his father did. This guy is, everything about him is a fucking lie, because his name's not Kim Jong-il. It's not even his name. His name is fucking Yuri Ivsanovich Kim.
He's Yuri.
That's really Russian. That's super Russian.
Yes. Which, to me, that's it. You're done. You're kicked out. Your name's not even fucking real. Your name's not even Korean. You no fucking right. Like, get out of here.
He sounds like an IT technician.
Yeah. Hello, this is Yuri. Your computer is down?
Turn it off and on. Like an old SNL on again.
Is it?
That was an old SNL sketch, yeah. The IT guy.
So here's where his birth is, like, just like you kind of mentioned earlier, CJ, like they make them sound like gods. Like, they even, like, I think with Kim Jong Il or Yuri, they literally like reset their calendar. Like, the calendar that they go by starts with his birth. And it's just fucking ridiculous. So as far as his birth goes, the most official, like, official to the outside, to the rest of the fucking world, was that he was born in 1941, probably while his dad was, quote-unquote, in exile in Siberia.
Right, yeah, because he didn't come into power until 1945, so that makes sense.
Exactly. So here's the story that's given to everyone in North Korea about the story of, or about the situation of Yuri's birth.
Literally, I'm milking right now. I can't tell you how excited I am for this.
Yes. So, Kim Jong Il was born in 1942, different year. In a cabin on the top of a sacred mountain, that is very holy to them in their mythology. I forgot to write down the name of the mountain, but he's born on the top of a mountain in a cabin, guarded by anti-Japanese guerrilla forces. Led by his father to ward off any Japanese that might come to kill the heir to this throne. And his birth is heralded by what you would call probably like the equivalent of Jesus's North Star shining bright above this cabin. And as he's birthed, a double rainbow crosses the sky and touches down on the
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
This is
a double rainbow?
A double rainbow.
Across the sky?
Across the sky.
Shut up.
I'm not even joking. I thought about taking this like further and then like saying like it shot out of like a unicorn, but I was like, that's just enough.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, that's all you need. That's what they told the people.
Yeah. Because they would have to explain how pretty the unicorn's vagina was, and that would just get too muddy.
Exactly. So that's literally what they fed the people. Like, this is your savior. This is how he was born. Like,
so they emulated the Christ birth.
Yeah, and they like peppered in a double rainbow for pizzazz.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. For flair. Yeah.
For flair. So it's just like it's like, to me, like, that off the bat, like, the absurd story of his birth, the fact that his name is fucking Yuri, you're not even a native, man. Like, I mean, I know that doesn't mean anything, but like you're talking about being like the natural born leader of this place. You're not even naturally born. Like,
he's a natural born killer, though. You can say that.
That's true. So he takes over from his father in 94 after, like you said, he has a heart attack.
Good.
sorry. Jerk. And he rules until 2011 when he dies. Of, I think, also a heart attack.
Well, you know what they would say at this point? Sorry to interject. It's like their heart was, because how devout their followers were, they were like, they would only say, like, if their leader died from a heart attack, they would be like, his heart is too strong to handle the people.
Too much love.
He has so much love for us that it literally exploded. When really he was eating bacon fat all day long.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get to his indulgences.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's not a lot. They're just fucking ridiculous. So he ruled from 94 to 2011. He refers to himself. Okay, so they had this really weird, tradition with them where, like, when they die, they get like honorific titles that are like forever. So, like, when his father died, he was given the title of like Eternal Leader or like Eternal Father or something like that.
Fucking gross, dude. Yeah,
so it's like Eternal something. They get like when Kim Jong Il died, he was given like Eternal President or something fucking stupid. But while he was alive, to separate
the constant gardener.
To separate himself from his father, he made everyone call him Dear Leader. So he was like their dear leader.
They called him Ralph Fiennes.
Wait, was it the Dear Leader like with antlers or the Dear Leader like Dear Leader?
Like dear, like affectionately.
Dear, dear, comma leader.
Yeah. Wait, Mark, are you saying they called him Ralph Fiennes or are you saying they called him Voldemort?
No, the Constant Gardener joke got me thinking of Ralph Fiennes.
You could also call him the Red Dragon at that point.
Ooh, that'd be better.
Oh, I love that movie. That movie's fucking amazing. Yeah.
So he goes through his career as their dear leader, which is just really really pretentious because.
Well, somebody hit him with a fucking car then. If he's a deer leader, hit him with a fucking car.
Blast those headlights and speed up. Oh, God.
I'm also thinking of like a Gossip Girl, like Dear Leader. Just like.
Yeah. Like everyone's writing fucking letters to him, like Dear Leader.
Well, yeah.
I often think about your double rainbow.
My precious Bambi president, I love you so much.
You really can't get away from the actual deers.
No, I can't stop thinking about them. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Rudolph, my president.
My president. So, one weird thing to consider, and I feel kind of weird, like, even saying this the way that I'm going to say it, but he's kind of noted with having the most, quote-unquote, and this is the weird part of the part, the word I don't like to use in this, as being the most successful dictator, like, ever. Like, the most successful totalitarianism ever, because there doesn't, and this could be in part to the lack of information we have on North Korea and the lack of information that comes out of North Korea, but there never has, especially during his reign, even now, seemed to be any pushback. Like,
I mean, I think you nailed it.
Like, just kind of
on the head, Cody.
Accept it, but we know that.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two parts. I think you explained it perfectly. And the second part is like, how did you say totalitarianism perfectly the first try? Like, I don't even know.
Does not compute.
It's how I rule my household. So I'm really good at saying it.
You're killing it, buddy.
Yeah. So, but it's weird because like, we all know, like everyone in the modern world knows that there's no way people like it there, but no information comes out. So it's like, it just seems that like everything just, it's like, they're just okay with it. Like no one, because like there's never been any evidence of any large democratic pushback.
Like, well, it's, dude, I'm sorry to keep interjecting, but it's a 3-tier system that it's going on to this day.
Yeah.
Exists to this day.
You bringing that up, like literally answers that question that I had to myself while writing this. I was like,
if you're gonna put me in a class of like okay, not okay, and terrible, or kill me, like okay, you get to choose three classes. You're fine, you're not fine, or you're dead. I'm gonna choose you're fine every day in my life.
You explained it like before we even got to this point, which I had not considered because I didn't know about that, and it makes a lot of sense now, but like I was already kind of predicting that like there's got to be some kind of system in place. It doesn't let anything get out to us. So his two main offenses, and one of them is kind of just a continuation of his father, and it's what you brought up, was the Quan Lisos, which are basically like gulags or like
internment camps
in a sense.
For sure.
They're awful. It's predicted that even to this day, I don't know if you got any of this, Mark, but they estimate that there's still 80 to 120,000 people still in these now. Yeah. But basically in these camps, obviously like any other work camp, like they're exposed to really intense, like unfair manual labor, massive amounts of sexual abuse from the guards, massive killings, physical torture. It's just, and anyone can get thrown in here, like you said, like in that class system.
Can I add like a caveat? Is they often work naked is something that I found. So they were denied food and clothing. So, and that was kind of a precursor to the fit of rape that the guards had.
Gotcha. Oh, well, it makes sense. I mean, that's awful to say. Makes sense. But I guess, like...
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Here we are.
Here we are. I mean, they're already naked, I guess, but...
That's fucking awful.
That is awful, but... So, the... I don't know if his father did this, but one thing that like they was included in the research that I found was not only would you be sent to these places based off of like whatever kind of like resistance you put back or whatever class system you were put in, but he also would send hundreds and thousands of people to these camps if they tried to leave the country, which probably explains why we never get any information on him, because the second you try to leave and if you're caught, you go to these.
Well, here's the thing, dude, Cody, it's a demilitarized zone. Like, if you want to go out or in or of North Korea, you have only one border crossed.
And they know where you're going.
So like, if it had anywhere else, it would be like a mass emigration, like get us the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But it's converted by tumultuous Japanese seas, which the East Atlantic is really rough. It's like it's Alcatraz. It's fucking Alcatraz. Yeah. You're right. It's Alcatraz as a country. Like the seas are so vicious around Korea's that it's so hard to escape by boat that you have to escape by land. But there's no landmass to leech onto, or not leech. That's a bad.
But no, port, I think you're
saying, port, like, latch onto.
Yeah. So
like you can't get out. It's a prison in its own country.
Well, your only exit is that way, and all your enemies know it. They know exactly where you're going. Like,
right.
They only have to search one road. Like,
yeah. It's just like, hey, guess what? I found you. Yeah. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, let me out of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, let them out. I swear to God, like, I don't want to be really fucking, you know, liberal here, but, like, just break that border. And let people do what they want to do. I know that's completely nonsensical, and I have no right saying that, but just let people do what they want to fucking do.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm sure
I think you have a...
Oh, sorry, go on.
No. I was just saying, I think you have a point, CJ. It's forced freedom, right? Which is not...
Exactly.
It's not an actual... It's not freedom. And it's funny that, Cody, you said the word enemies when you're actually referring to the people in their own countries.
Yeah.
You should never really refer to your own, your own nation as an enemy.
Well, especially when you're referring...
God, that's poignant.
The name enemy
so poignant.
Is referring to the government that's supposed to protect you.
Right. That's like, it's fucking crazy.
The whole situation is fucked up. And CJ, I don't think you're wrong in saying it's like, fucking bust the border down and give people the freedom that they do want. Yeah. Like, we know that they want it. It's just they can't get it. And like, it probably
because you'll be if you even ask for it, you'll be judged on that 3-part system though.
Yeah,
you'll be considered hostile if you act for it.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. So his second major offense. Is during his entire rule is the major famine that it just decimated North Korea because of his one is you said earlier that they had complete control of the economy. He was completely inept at anything economical. Like he had no fucking, none of them have any fucking clue what they're doing because they're not trained in it. And so in 1991, when the Soviet Union fell, the Soviet Union was North Korea's main economic supporter. That's where they got all of their imports and exports through. They did all of their economic dealings with the Soviet Union. So when they fell, they had nothing left. And that literally cut off all the food. They had whatever food they can grow, which wasn't anything because they were too busy building missiles. And it caused an instant famine. And because his father had set up a system of military first, their main priority was feed the military and feed the government and feed everyone in charge. Citizens are expendable. That was their economic plan. So all of their food was distributed to the people on top. Everyone else was given maybe bread. And
exactly.
Yeah, it's basically to sum it up, without going into like the horrors of what famine does, it's estimated that roughly 3.5 million people died of starvation during this. While they ate like, you know, whatever they wanted.
Cody, I'm literally about to lose it, dude. Like,
okay, so this is where we can shit talk him.
I just your meat is the only true thing that you own in this world, yeah. And for somebody to tell me that your meat doesn't belong to you makes me so fucking angry, bud. Like, so angry. Like, the only thing that you truly own in this world is your own body, and for somebody to tell you that you don't own it and it belongs to somebody else makes me fucking furious.
Yeah. Well, as far as they see it, you don't own the food that you put into your body.
It extrapolates it to an nth degree. Yeah. Like, I don't understand, like, where, like, can Fugazi play in fucking North Korea or something like that? Like, can fucking, like, can there be a, like, Rage Against the Machine in North Korea that just plays? Like, listen, I know they say you're going to kill you, but if you stand true and stand strong enough, you could literally destroy the Kim dynasty in one fell swoop if you just said no consistently for 72 hours.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm sorry. It really fucks me up.
Yeah, it's shitty because it's the people, like I said, the people that are supposed to be protecting them are the ones doing this to them. And it's not like to the weird extreme that, like, you know, Stalin or anyone, like, where they're, you know, they are actively gassing or like attacking their own people. This is just, like, their people suffering is a byproduct to them. Mm-hmm. So it just makes it like almost like a different level of cruel. Like,
yeah, it's a product to them, not a people.
Yeah, you couldn't even consider them
a bargaining chip.
Yeah, well, it's like they couldn't even consider their own people enough to attack them. They didn't even care about them that much.
Mm.
They just let them not have food. Like, it's like, well, there's only enough for me. So
I don't understand. I can never understand it.
Yeah. Mark, you doing okay?
Yeah, no, I have this tendency of going real quiet when I feel like mad or upset about stuff. Yeah. And
it's like, I think he froze.
Yeah, no, it's just it's so frustrating and in so many different ways. And there was a lot that I learned in the research for this episode that obviously, you know, I'll do my part, and that it's just continued for three generations of one family and for decades of millions of people. And you know, and you look at it kind of, I think, to what CJ is saying, and it's like three individuals versus 20 plus million people.
Yeah.
And you know, whenever you run those scenarios of like, okay, what's worth saving, like the few or the many. Mm-hmm. And this is the complete opposite, where it's like, it for them, the few are always worth saving.
Yeah. They're the worst few you could possibly have.
And they're the biggest shit heels that you've ever seen. Yeah. No, absolutely. It's
crazy. Well, okay. Well, this last little bit is this is the last of it. This will make you guys feel better because now we can just make fun of this asshole. This guy is just a complete loser. Probably only succeeded in like the amount that he sucks or is just a dork by his own son.
Hell yeah. And his their missiles haircut. Can't reach us, Cody. They'll reach you, Mark, but they can't reach us.
So according to according to like a lot of like other like world leaders at the time, like this guy was just completely insufferable. Like he was so fucking annoying.
We're talking about Trump, right?
Right. They're gonna sound the same. Like they would have been best friends.
Darkly the same.
Yeah. So basically, okay, so this is where they're like identical. So the first time he ever played golf, he made everyone like tell everyone, he made all of his people he played golf tell everyone that he golfed 38 under par the first time he ever picked up a club.
Well, no, he never missed a golf shot, right? He had a hole in one every time.
Every time, every time.
That was the third, every time hole in one.
38 yeah. under par. That is
38
incredible.
Under par
hey,
was,
hey, hey, can we stop the podcast real quick? Where's my golf clubs, Mark?
Yeah. Oh, it's you that has them.
Yeah, bud. Where well, are no, they, friend?
I had them.
Where are they?
There's a guy on 6th Avenue that is playing a lot of golf.
Is he the same guy that sells a bunch of weird lamps on 6th Street?
You know, he's the guy that sells the fake Louis V handbags.
Well, give me his name and number because I want my Titleist back, dude.
Oh my god!
Actually, they weren't even Titleists. What are they? TaylorMades. I want my TaylorMades back.
Yeah, TaylorMades.
Did you sell his golf clubs?
No,
I can neither.
No, you wouldn't do that. You no, wouldn't no, I do didn't. That.
Of course, I wouldn't. You're my best friend, dude. I'm not gonna sell you.
Oh yeah, well, fucking send them, dude.
I'm gonna bring them myself. I'm gonna hand deliver them.
Yeah, I was like, that's an expensive package. Like the whole
that's a really empty claim that you can stand by. anyways, Cody, sorry. I
oh, no, no, you're good.
Out.
You're good. I never put together that it was Mark that had your golf clubs. I've been hearing that you have his golf clubs for the last like three years. So, okay.
Oh,
so
shit.
Aside from his perfect golf record.
You wrap it up, Cody.
Okay. Fine. He also claimed to be an expert in fine wines and cigars. Just had the best, knew everything about him, bragged about it at all of his parties. He was also like the world's biggest cinephile, like apparently owned over 200,000 movies that he would never stop talking about. He would spend about almost over half a million, like $700,000 a year on cognac. Like, just because. Like, yeah. Basically, he's just the guy who made everyone laugh at his fucking jokes and tell him how cool he was.
I hate him. I hate him so much. Yeah.
He was the fucking worst. And no one liked him ever. The end.
Yeah. All right, Team America did a great job of
it's the perfect representation of that piece of shit. Like, so
we're gonna cut to the next. Mark, you ready? Ready to do it?
I'll close this out. Bring it home.
All right,
let's do it.
Okay, be back.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Justice Time Machine. We appreciate it very much. So, I want to take this opportunity to also appreciate another person. I hope that line of logic followed. His name is Johnny Niddle, and he is the person responsible for doing all of our music. He did our theme song, he does all the transitions, and we couldn't be happier with his work. We think it's like absolutely wonderful. It's one of the greatest things that's happened to our podcast since it started. It's actually sounding much more professional and just all around better. So you should absolutely give him your business. Go to johnnyrk.com. That's johnnyrk, johnnyrk.com. Or you can find him on all social media at johnnyrk. Go to Johnny Niddle. Give him your money. He deserves every penny. Thank you, Johnny, and we'll see you next time.
Go! Okay.
Here we go. All right, so this was a tough segment because
really,
nothing gets in and out in or out, I should say, of North Korea. So
that's what
I think
she said.
I think you guys had the benefit of history on your side, like, you know, that's both true. Of your guys are dead now. This guy, yeah. Kim Jong-un. So I thought I would start with a joke just to try and keep it a little lighthearted. So it's a joke that becomes darker and darker as I go on.
Great.
Because it becomes more and more real. But a North Korean man was arrested and given 15 years in prison for calling Kim Jong-un a fathead. Okay. 1 year for insulting the supreme leader and 14 years for revealing a state secret.
All right. That's such a British joke.
I love it.
It really appealed to me.
I love it. It's like that it's like that joke from what's that guy in Family Guy, what, like, whatever, Bottom Tooth, the guy with the really like big jaw, and he's like, do you know why he left it at home? Because he's a Scot.
Yeah, it's a perfect joke. Anyway, this guy is as mysterious as he is, you know, controversial.
Fat.
So, and also fat, particularly in the head. So it's really, honestly, I didn't even think about this too much when we divided the episode up. I was like, cool, I'll take Kim Jong-un. But it's impossible to truly know what is happening in North Korea at any mm-hmm. given time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's almost just as impossible to know how much North Koreans are aware of what is happening in the world right now.
Ooh. Like, they,
Well, even to that degree, though, do you think he knows what North Korean power looks like?
I think he does.
I don't think he does.
No, hold on. Really? I think there's a better point there that Mark hit on. I think him and his father and his grandfather, they definitely know. They know what the outside world looks. They don't give a shit. What I think is wilder to think about, do the citizens of North Korea realize, one, what the fuck goes on outside North Korea, and what we all think of them?
Well, here's the thing: you're devaluing an entire population. I think you're saying
they
know what's going on. No,
they don't know.
Cody,
they're watching
Cody,
Game of Thrones.
They're classed within three tiers. Do you believe the bullshit? Are you okay with the bullshit, or do you not believe the bullshit? If you were in that situation, you would believe the bullshit because you would get your entire family killed if you didn't.
Yeah, but even
right. But if you think about for a second, so supposedly North Korea hasn't even had a single case of coronavirus, like registered.
Well, they haven't reported one.
Exactly. So then, begs the question: do the people of North Korea know how bad the coronavirus pandemic has even been globally?
Probably not.
Because
no,
if they listen to anything other than state-controlled radio or television, they are punished.
Yeah,
but you're erasing common sense at that point, though.
That's
but
what
they, but they, but I'm, all of the information coming into them is controlled. So, like,
all filtered.
How do they? How would they even know what's going? It's like living in a bubble.
Yeah, but don't you feel things in your bones? Like, people feel things in your bones.
Yeah, like, I feel things in my bones. Like, when I took a look at you, I was like, this son of a bitch is going to be my friend. But I didn't
Sorry. Mark said that wrong. He took a look at my bone and said, this son of a bitch is going to be my friend.
Like, that is an incredible hard.
Yeah, we both got super big boners when we met each other.
Yeah.
Fine, whatever.
But I truly don't think that North Koreans have any concept of what is going on in the world.
I really hope they agree.
Maybe that's my
glass half full. I hope they do, and I hope they're just going along with the flow. And that's what brings me back to the work conversation and customer conversation. I think that they're just putting it on.
No.
No, dude. I learned that they So, like, if you are, if you live in Pyongyang, you are chosen to live in Pyongyang. If you want to travel to Pyongyang and you're in, you know, like one of the other cities or towns, you have to get, you have to apply for permission to go to Pyongyang because you're just a commoner.
But the crocodile tears that were shed when Kim Il-jung fell, I felt like they were forced, though. I feel like everything they do is forced.
I think it's forced to a degree, but it's also all they know. So at a certain point, it becomes real.
Yeah. Like, it's like the Truman Show.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
actually a really good point. Yeah, yeah.
It's like that. Like, I think, like, if you were to, like, if you were to describe it as, like if they were one room and we were another room, like an interrogation room, we can, like, kind of see in. They just see a reflection of themselves.
That's a very good point. Like, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, like they don't get
to see hold on, Mark. It's not, because these are people.
Yeah, they're people.
Have sentience. Yeah. They have emotions. They have feelings. We're not mirrors. We don't reflect each other.
It's a large scale, country scale Munchausen. Like, it's
okay. Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point.
They've been beaten down so hard, like they don't know anything else. Like, okay, I'm okay. Right there with Mark. Sorry, Mark. Continue.
Like an abused pet, unfortunately. Yeah. But okay. So look. So here are some fictional truths. Oh, about
I meant Stockholm, not Munchausen. Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So these are fictional truths about Kim Jong-un, and I call them fictional truths because, quite honestly, some of them could be 100% true, some of them could be complete fabrication. And
wait, can we make a game out of it? Can we pick what we believe is true or not?
But dude, I don't know if any of them are true. Tell us. I would love. So I actually thought of that. I was like, let's play a game, and I'll list all these off, but then I would be the worst adjudicator ever because I don't know if they're true or not.
Like, great choice. I don't know.
Like games.
So
we can still play a game. Let's take a majority rule.
Okay. So no one really knows how old Kim Jong-un is.
Bullshit.
It's believed that he is between 34 and 36, but no one knows when. Like, so you guys were able to give a date of birth for both mm-hmm. of your Kims.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is no date of birth for Kim Jong-un.
Well, I'm going to say he looks 7. So he looks like a fat baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Cody's got a good point.
He supposedly had plastic surgery at the age of 27 to look more like his grandfather. So,
well, failure there. Yeah. He doesn't look any like sure. him.
No, but like, sure, because plastic surgery never turns out the way you want it to turn out.
So that's yeah. It's true.
That's
okay,
true.
Well, okay, I'm gonna say for the first one. For the first one, probably no one knows because it's not like they're telling anyone. So yeah, sure, that's probably true. I don't buy the plastic surgery. His skin's too baby smooth, maybe Botox, but he looks too soft.
Okay. So for this next one, I'll ask for both of you to give me an answer before I tell you what is supposedly true.
Oh, okay. Oh,
fuck yeah.
So his haircut, which if you've seen what yes. Kim Jong-un looks like, his haircut is pretty striking.
So good.
He's bald. He's bald. I'll say it right now. He's bald.
No.
No.
His haircut has a name, and I want each of you to give me what you think the name of his haircut is.
Oh.
Is he oppressor?
Okay, CJ, the oppressor. Cody, what do you...
Egg drop.
Egg drop.
Like egg drop, ooh, like egg drop soup.
No,
what?
His haircut is actually called ambitious.
It is. I mean, it is.
And it's one of 28 state-approved haircuts for men in North Korea.
They have state-approved haircuts?
Listen, yeah. I'm a pacifist all the way, but there's got to be people that you could hit in the face.
Wait, Mark, were you able to look up, was it like public knowledge to look up the other approved haircuts?
No, and I'll be honest, so there was a fact from like 3 years ago that said that there was 16, and then the most recent was 28, and I find it hard to believe that 12 new haircuts were introduced into the system in 3 years.
Please, I hope one, like the last, like they're all very, very vanilla. And then the last one's a mohawk.
Yeah, or the opposite. Someone just like shaves the mid, like down the middle.
Like, you can have it.
Skullet?
We know you're not going to do it, but you could.
Yeah. So, and then the other thing about Kim Jong-un is he loves to kill people in insanely creative ways.
Oh.
Like the craziest way. So he had his oldest half-brother, Kim Jong-nam, assassinated in public at Kuala Lumpur Airport with a deadly nerve agent called VX, which was in the news like three or four years ago.
I remember this.
For real?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
They brainwashed two women who basically had like components of the nerve agent on their hands. And you can see them on CCTV go up and rub the face of his half brother, and then 20 minutes later he's dead.
I don't remember that part, like the face rubbing, but I do remember hearing that he had his half brother killed
in public, like just the most no fucks given assassination.
I'm not gonna lie,
it's wild though. Cody, give me a second, because like at this point, like I feel like we've been too harsh on him and we need to take it all back, because like, yeah, he's the supreme leader, and like we should all respect him. And like,
Mark's beginning to see the light.
CJ's he's afraid someone's gonna come up and rub his face.
He has his reasons. Blaise Pascal, he has his reasons, of which reason knows nothing, and we should all respect him as the supreme leader.
Bow down.
Yeah. I for one don't want to get rubbed with death poison on my nose. So yeah, I'll fucking fade out at this point.
I'm not gonna lie, like if it was me though, like if I was his half brother and lady number one came up and even reached for my face, I'd be, get the fuck out of here. Like if she actually touched my face, I'd be like, because I'm sure he had guards, I'd be like, kill everyone who tries to touch me. Like
He didn't. He was like completely on his own. That was the craziest thing.
I would have karate chopped the next fucking person who walked up to me like a fucking zombie, like trying to fucking touch me. Like, just like, oh no.
So he did that.
That guy's a loser.
God rest his soul.
I just saw that Mark just he went full Catholic right there.
I know, I just called a dead guy a loser, but whatever, he's a loser.
I mean, yeah, he probably was.
It's like when Trump called McCain a loser for getting captured in war.
Right, it was like, oh,
oh my god, dude, yeah. He was a POW, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Right. In 2012, he is rumored to have had the former army vice minister killed with a mortar round because he drank and partied after Kim's father's death.
Oh,
pretty.
Yeah, but we all do that at wakes. We all get drunk at wakes.
Isn't that
and then
point?
Kill someone with a mortar round?
I've never been sober at a wake. Like, come on. Get out of here.
No, that's fair. But like in North Korea, you can't do that shit. His uncle,
obviously
Yang
not.
Song, obviously not. It's not what one does. this is okay. This one got me. Like, if you actually take a second to picture this,
yeah.
His uncle Jang Song Taek reportedly was stripped naked and fed to 120 starving dogs in 2013.
For what?
For real? Is that the thing? Is it conjecture? Like always.
Dude, who fucking knows? This country is like an enigma, but like this is what's coming out.
Okay, so I have heard of all three of these. I did hear that he killed his own uncle. I didn't hear about like the 120 fucking dogs. That's a lot of fucking dogs.
That's a lot of dogs.
Did it say like what four? I don't remember what four.
It didn't. So when he took power, he basically went on a purge. And a lot of it was, you know, family members, pre-existing people within the party. He just went on a killing spree, basically. The final, so that there's more, but like the one that also stuck with me. So if you imagine an anti-aircraft gun, it's a huge gun, right? Mm-hmm. Shooting down airplanes. He had another minister that was within the party killed by using an anti-aircraft gun at a shooting range in front of hundreds of spectators.
It was a public execution?
With an anti-aircraft gun.
That's a public obliteration. Right.
Like, that's, yeah, like how many pieces, like...
None. He's vapor. Like...
Here's what we need to do. Let me do a classic CJ summary. Can I do it? If you guys don't mind.
Will you yell at your ceiling?
When I yell at my ceiling and throw my, I high kick my ceiling fan and throw my lower fan.
Mine was bad. My guy just let people starve. Mark's guy shot people with an anti-aircraft gun.
It makes me so fucking upset that people have power over you guys. And like, if it was somebody like, hey, I'm the president and I'm controlling Mark and Cody, I would lose my fucking mind.
Right.
I would lose my goddamn mind. I would rather fucking throw my own shoes at that president, Iranian style. Like, just fuck you, Eden, because my shit is my shit.
Right. The more that I researched and read, the scarier, and you know, obviously we hear about North Korea in the news all the time. I mean, there was, you know, the meeting between Trump and Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, that too is like there was a threat of them killing my family if I disagreed as well. And how much would you put up with?
It's a valid question. I think, I don't know. The thing with Kim Jong-un is that he's so unpredictable. And I think that the others had an element of this, but something that really stuck out that, so on more than one occasion, this guy has gone missing. Like he's just disappeared, which is
twice now.
That's right. On two occasions he's disappeared, which is.
And his sister, which it was so much scarier, took the reins.
Right. And if you think about it, how difficult must it be to like raise global awareness about you disappearing in a country that no one knows anything about? Like you've gone so far off the deep end.
Like,
do you know what I mean? Like, we don't know much about North Korea, but we knew he was missing.
Mark
has a really valid point. What if we treated North Korea like the deep end? Like, don't even dip your toe in it. Like, just let them be the deep end, and we'll stay in the shallow end and have fun.
I think that's,
tried. You're always going to be scary. You're always going to be weird. Like, the depth of the pool is always going to be weird and scary. What if we just don't pay attention to you, and we'll have fun in the shallow end, and you'll just have your own weird,
thing
with your sister, and fuck your sister. I don't give a shit. Whatever, like.
That's
the perfect question.
In the deep end, in that deep end, there's a nuclear bomb. Like,
exactly. So the I'm glad you asked that question, CJ, because the vanishing acts, probably a world that you might not have expected. Like, you and I might be happy to hear that Kim Jong-un has disappeared because. He's gone.
Yeah,
right?
But his sister is just as worse, just as bad.
He has his sister, but not since World War II has a family dictatorship ever passed power for the third time. So the Kims are a complete and utter anomaly. They've done something that no other dictatorship has been able to do.
Are we digging our own grave by giving them credence then?
Possibly. I mean, I don't think. But if he was to suddenly go. Because it's the third, he's the third successor to the dynasty. Kind of removing him, whether he died suddenly, whether he was assassinated, or whether he lost power unexpectedly, all of a sudden in that part of the world, you got China, India, Russia that are a lot closer to North Korea than America.
But we're getting off track too. It's because our main point was to protect the people of North Korea, not the fucking bodies that lead it.
Right.
So if our point is to protect the people that are suffering and in constant oppression. We should be focused on them and not the leadership.
Dude, you're like playing into my fucking hand. I love it. So basically,
oh, Gibby, you want to touch my boobies?
Always. That, but your point is so valid, because that massive instability of Kim Jong-un suddenly disappearing, right? Mm-hmm. Presents the possibility that there would be thousands, if not millions, of North Korean refugees. Mm-hmm. And it would reach the level of a complete and utter global disaster. Like, there would be first of all, there would be multiple countries and governments trying to get their hands on his nuclear weapons. But there would be a shit ton of people, to your point, CJ, you know, citizens that had no fucking where to go. And they've already gone through a famine, to Cody's point, where millions died in the mid-90s because his father did a shit job of building an economy.
Yeah.
So if you take away the very, very little stability that they have, which is knowing that there is a Kim in charge, and this is the common sort of thread that I wanted to weave throughout the three of us as a full stop at the end of this sentence. Even though it's the most garbage shit fucking stain of a full stop, it's still all that they know.
Yeah.
It's like everything you've ever learned, he's a god. He is the absolute power. He is the supreme leader. And then all of a sudden he's gone.
Like, what the fuck do you do? Like,
where does that lead
like,
anyway?
I don't think that's our responsibility at this point. Like, I think that, like, there are
minds. But you're saying it is, though, because we should go in and protect them.
No. I'm saying there's minds that took this responsibility and they're not fucking following through. And I think that Mark, like, literally, can you say that last part again? Can we end on that part? Like, he's absolutely right. It's that the indoctrination is more powerful than the guns and weapons that point towards them.
100%. Yeah, no, it's if you lose all that you know, all that you've ever been told, tomorrow it's gone.
Right.
Where do you go? Well,
yeah.
What's the next step? And then it would be the UN's responsibility.
No,
they're
but
sending
no,
two
for
million
them, though, there
COVID
is none,
vaccine.
Though. It's just the end and for the them, be all. Yeah. There's end and be all, and that's it.
I think that at some point, this is going to happen, and it's going to be a huge fucking global problem.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen, and it's going to be a fucking disaster. Like,
my dudes, this was supposed to be a light episode, dude.
No. But okay, but my main question, though, I was trying to get this in at some point, Mark, to what you said, like, he's gone missing, quote-unquote. I don't know much about this, but like, what the fuck happens when he comes back? He just fucking waltzes in and is like, neighbor, I'm back. Where is he going?
Cody, he was hospitalized. Dude, Kim Jong-un has a bad heart. He's been hospitalized twice. He has a bad heart, just like his father. He's been hospitalized
twice.
Like his grandfather. They don't want to say it out in public because he's the supreme leader. They don't want to make him seem weak, and they don't want to weaken the public's view of him. But it's true, he has a bad heart, just like his granddaddy.
Well, they think he has two kids, but they can't say for sure.
Don't even, okay, all right. Two kids now?
But it's, who knows? Like,
he disappeared, it was for their births or something? Like,
it could. I think maybe one of them could have been the plastic surgery. Like, who knows? Maybe. Like,
He did in Kim Cho fertilization.
Kim Cho. Yeah. Wait, so he disappeared, got plastic surgery, and then walked back in. They're like, who the fuck are you? And he's like, Heidi ho, I'm the Supreme Leader.
hey, that's a nice baby. Let me make his forehead bigger.
Right. They were like, we recognize that haircut. Yeah. That is ambitious.
Yeah. Trim his hairline a little bit back, just in the middle.
Yeah. Let's make this baby's forehead as big as the world. As big as the sun.
As big as the sun. As big as me.
All right, y'all. You ready? Come on.
Okay. Mark, do you have anything else?
That honestly, there was so much, but I think that was a good...
Wait,
did you have more?
No, there was just like secret organizations. And honestly, there was shit that was running my blood cold. Oh, and I think the more that I delved in, the more I was like, North Korea is one of the scariest places on earth.
God. Okay, so you're saying that there was a ton more, but you, like, that was all that you won. Okay, I thought we cut you off, and I was like, wait, what do you mean there's more?
No, I think that's all that I'm willing to distill into the public.
Gotcha. Oh, shit, CJ, we lost him.
That's all we can handle right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mark, if we cut you off. I just.
No. You didn't.
It seems so trivial. Like, it seems so
Mark's been indoctrinated. He's not allowed to reveal any more secrets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a defector.
Yeah. He's Markarian.
He's now
no. Mark, I think that was a good
Mark Kim.
Right.
Don't let them take you.
Oh god.
All right, Cody. End it. Let's just.
All right, guys. Well, this is it. Episode 1 of season 5. In the books. Follow us at justicetimemachine@gmail.com. I did it. Someone else do another plug.
Oh, just add justicetimemachine@gmail.com.
I just said that one. You
on Instagram. And, hey, you know what? You didn't do a good job.
Okay, fine.
And you can also listen to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, Mark, send us out. There we go. Yeah.
All right.
We're done.
Bye.